Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show. CJAD 800.
Oh, good morning. Walter Assey from Renovco has entered the building. How was the drive in, by the way, in all this rain?
The drive was hydroplaning the whole way here.
Yeah,
we're building an ark today, so that's how it looks like.
Yeah. Are people behaving on the roads?
You know what? The highway was closed, so I had a nice little detour on top of that. So,
what'd you do? You had took the 13 down.
I took
to
St. Patrick and
St. Patrick.
Turned around and yeah.
Okay.
I weighs it now. I have no. I don't take any chances because you know. Yeah. We live in Quebec.
In case you're just joining us and you're unaware, the 20 inbound, the 20 eastbound is closed as you approach the Ville-Saint-Pierre interchange.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it is.
514-790-0800 if you want to talk to Walter here on the Home Improvement Show. And some people are going to have issues with their basements, of course, with all this.
I mean, I would definitely check the basements today. Yeah. This is a lot of water. It haven't stopped. So check your sump pumps, check your basements. If you have any backup generators, make sure that it has gas and everything in it. Because, you know, yesterday there's some areas that did miss some electricity. So
yeah, I saw a note this morning on the text line from yesterday that I think it was in Point Claire, if I'm not mistaken, there was a power outage.
And in Bay Durfee as well. It was brief, but it still occurred, right? So when it rains a lot, even if it's a few minutes and your sump pump is working, it could start flooding very, very quickly. So that's why, I mean, just make sure that you are preemptively prepared. You know, your generators have gas on them, and everything is ready.
What time was the outage? Was it afternoon or evening?
It was right after about 7 o'clock. I would say 7-8 o'clock.
Time. Yeah. Okay. All right. Again, 514-790-0800 to talk to Walter. He's here for the entire hour. Let's go to NDG and say hi to Suzanne. Suzanne, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we're having a new problem. So we have a gargling noise. When it rains, the rain is really intense. There's gargling noise in the drain of the sink and the bath at the second floor of the house. Now, the house is 100 years old, has a flat roof, was brand new, 2 years old, membrane. The plumbing of the basement under the slab is 24 years old. The drain pipe from the house to the city is 6 years old. We have a big, big maple tree in front of the house, huge. And we checked this morning. There's no puddling on the roof. And the basement sink has no noise. Why do we have that big gargling noise?
That is actually a mystery to me as well. With everything that you've explained.
She did the process of elimination.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. That's right. I mean, you did well in eliminating everything that it could be as a potential. When you open the water, does it drain nicely? You don't have any backups, or it's not a slow draining process? Have you tried all the sinks in the house, the bathtubs, everything?
No, we tried that and there's no backup.
Okay, and it's draining nicely. That means there's no, you don't see it slower than usual or anything like that.
I don't see slower, but there when the gargling noise starts, it's just so like overwhelming. I don't put on the water. I don't open up the water to see if it drains well when the noise is there.
Do you have a flat roof or do you have
Okay,
so you have a flat roof. One of the things you might want to do is pass a camera from the roof down. What could potentially be happening is you could have some type of blockage on the roof drain, not necessarily down very far into your home that is affecting your plumbing, but up like high enough that you know it will create some type of issues. With, you know, that gurgling noise and what have you. That could occur. That's, unfortunately, with flat roof, it's an issue in the sense that, you know, especially now it's the autumn, you have a lot of leaves flying around. So it is very possible that you could have that as a possibility. Anything else, you just explained to me that, you know, your drains have been replaced, so I don't see really any correlation with these two, and specifically that when you are using all your appliances, all your fixtures, I should say, you're not getting any issues. So that tells me that it could be possibly an issue from the roof down.
Or also, I have thinking something else. We changed the drain from the house to the city, but the city from the down lower in the, I don't know, it goes down there, a drain, that has not been replaced.
I mean, yes, but you will have somehow bigger telltale sign than what you're actually mentioning right now. You just said that, you know, everything is draining well in the house. You don't have any backups in the basement necessarily, especially in the basement area. You would have seen something. So, I mean, you could, if you have the guy coming to check with the camera the roof drain, you could have him check the basement as well and the drain to the city. But it's probably, in my opinion, it's highly unlikely.
Okay, good. Okay. And also, when we have a brand new membrane roof, I find there's a lot of specks of that white little powder who just comes everywhere. It comes on the pavements and maybe goes down to the drain also.
You have a white elastomeric membrane?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's going to happen for a while, unfortunately. It's because it's the old year as you, because it's new. So the first year or two are going to be problematic that way. I mean, you could wash it. You could wash the roof, but I mean, it's a process that's going to take its time.
Okay.
It's like a brand new roof on a shingle. Yeah, it's like a brand new, when you have a shingle roof, it have the same issue. It goes into your gutter, and a lot of the time the gutter get blocked because of that.
Okay. Now, the guy for the camera is a plumber?
Yeah, you can call the plumber. Just make sure that they have cameras, because not every plumber have a camera and have that service.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Will do.
Thank you. Let us know how it goes, okay?
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Suzanne. Thanks for the call. Opens up a line at 514-790-0800. We might have to interrupt this call halfway through to get some road reports on the air, but that's okay. Scott, is that you?
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Let's just start. Set up your question, and we'll take a little break and come back with Walter. So subfloors is the issue?
Yeah. Wanted to know, gutted something, and now we're putting in a new floor. First, we talked about the regular plywood, the 5x8, and so on. Then they changed. They said maybe we should do the tiles, the pre-barricade ones. And now they're saying that they want to level the cement and put a humidity paint and then just put a rubber membrane. And on that, we would put the vinyl flooring or and part of it with tiles, porcelain tiles.
Okay. So what's your question?
Well, the question is does it make sense that we went from that to that to that? And is the last option a good option or not? And they're saying it's going to save floor space because it's in the basement.
Okay.
Height-wise, I mean, sorry. And they're saying it's just as good. Is that, does that make sense or not?
Okay. I mean, the fact that they're jumping from one thing to the other, that I can't tell you what reasoning they are following, really. I do have, with the third option, I do have some reservations and questions because, yeah, self-leveling paint, cement is great as long as you know how you're using it and where you're using it. Unfortunately, a lot of the cases, some contractors don't know how to use it and how to use it and where to use it and how much to use it, okay? Typically speaking, you have if you go with the best type of self-leveling, the best because there's different grades, the maximum you can level is 1 inch.
1 inch.
Anything, and that's really the good stuff. I'm talking top of the line. Usually it's 3/4 inch. Some brands, they can go up to 1 inch.
I saw that they made little mountains and they put strings across before they pour it, little mounds of a little, so that, and they use the string to make a level surface.
Wait a minute. I mean, okay, so we have to be very careful of what product they're using. Are they using self-leveling cement? Because with self-leveling cement, you don't do any of that.
No.
Okay, that's hence the word self-leveling. You let it pour and it does its thing. I'm just hoping that they're not pouring real cement, not self-leveling cement, and then they're not really preparing the surface adequately. Now, if they're doing that, you won't see the result right away of their mistake. That's the problem. It will take months, even sometimes years, before things start crumbling and giving way and so on and so forth. Good practice for you would be to look at the product that they're using, take a picture, and research it, okay? Because, again, self-leveling is not cheap. So when someone tells you, I want to do the whole basement in self-leveling, there's a cost. They're not trying to save necessarily cost. Now, it might save you labor, for sure, but it won't really save you cost as far as material is concerned. So I would be very cautious about approaching this.
Scott, can I just ask you to hang on for a sec with your question? We'll come right back to you. It's 9:16.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
At 9:22, welcome back. And a call now to grab a line to talk to Walter Assey from Renovco, 514-790-0800. Scott, thank you for waiting. You wanted to wrap up with one more question, I think, for Walter.
It's not another question. Walter was finishing up.
Oh, sorry.
So basically, Walter, which product do I have to be looking for?
It's not a question of which product. I'm just going to go over a couple of options and explain you the pros and cons for every product that you mentioned. So the conventional subfloor usually takes more space. It's the one that takes the most amount of height. If you are going to go with that route, because let's say your slab is not even, it's very important the type of membrane you're going to put on the floor. So I would recommend, because a lot of contractors like to put black paper, it's easy to roll out and it's cheap to buy, but it's probably the worst thing that you can put on your subfloor.
Okay.
You want to go with a Delta type membrane. Because it is waterproof and the humidity does not affect it or degrade it like a black paper. The problem with black paper, it's great to suck the humidity that's coming from the slab or absorb that, but anything that comes from the top, meaning you drop a glass of water, a glass of wine, a small leak somewhere, creates mold instantaneously. Hence the word black paper. It's paper, right? It's felt paper. So I would stay away from that if that's the option that you're going to use. In the process of the subflooring, the conventional one, when you're going to go with, if there's any anchoring and leveling to do, then you need to go with this with a minimum standard of a 2x3.
2x3 by 5/8, right?
2x3 lumber. Because what happens is, again, we've seen it in a lot of cases, sometimes they use a 1x3 and then they try to shim with that. You can't shim a 1x3, it will bend.
Okay,
so it's very important, it's not structural. 2x3 would be the standard. If I'm just telling you these things just for you can so you can watch out what's happening in your home. So with a 2x3, you can do anchoring and leveling, no problem, okay? Now, which transitions us to the second type of subfloor you talked about, which is the dry core, if you wish, as if you want to brand put a brand to it. It's 2x2 squares, and you know they have plastic type of ridges at the bottom, and they tongue and groove while you're installing them. These are great for many reasons. Number one, they don't take as much height. The backing of it is waterproof, so and those ridges allow the water to drain nicely towards the drain without impediment like a 2x3 structure would. The problem with a 2x3 conventional subfloor is that when you would have water, it will stay stuck in between the 2x3s that are tap-conned into the cement floor. Whereas these guys, they are elevated and they... those ridges will allow the water to flow nicely to the drain. And if there's any shimming to do, that's one, if you want downside to it, you can only shim to up to 3/4 inch. They use those plastic type shims, if you wish, that you could buy. So you can't shim much with them. But they're great as far as if you have any water or anything like that, small amounts, it goes to the drain and you don't have to rip everything out and restart. Okay. They are more expensive to purchase than a regular subfloor as well.
Okay.
Now, the last one would be what you just mentioned about the self-leveling and this and that and the other thing. Now, depending on how thick your cement slab, how old your cement slab is. Because remember, older slabs did not have geotextile underneath. So the amount of humidity that a slab would emit out is very high when it's an older slab. So if it's already musty in your basement and humid in your basement, unless you address that issue, you might not solve that problem. Meaning, whatever you put on top, if you're putting it right on the slab itself, you're still going to have humidity problems. Okay? But then, you know, you're going to have to make a calculation. You have to see what your height is. If you really have height issues, then this might be a compromise. So, in other words, Scott, what I'm trying to tell you is they all work. You know the pros and cons right now. You should make the decision and not allow your contractor to make that decision for you.
The third option, you didn't explain that one. So does it make sense to use, if we use that option, is it okay to use that special paint for humidity and then this rubber membrane?
I mean, it is okay. It is okay. I'm just worried about the self-leveling aspect of it. So what is their plan with that? Meaning what I would do...
One inch, right?
Okay. What I would do is I would ask him to put a level... a laser level, and to show you what is their plan, how thick are they planning to go. If they tell you, an inch and a half, 2 inches, then we have problems. So that should be eliminated immediately, unless you say, go below, and I'll be living with an unlevel floor basement because I want to gain the height. That's another story.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very, very much.
All right, Scott, thanks for the phone call. Good luck with the project. It's 928. Sam and Francis, hang on. We're going to come to you right after the newscast. Can I throw a quick question at you from the text line?
Sure.
To take us to news. It says, morning, guys. I'd like to buy a chimney balloon. Would Walter know where I could find one?
Amazon.
Amazon?
Yes. If you want to go with something that is actually affordable, or even Wafer. Wafer would have it. But, Amazon, I've looked into some of them, and the price is very reasonable.
What do they run?
Oh, that I don't even remember. Okay. I haven't. The last time I bought one was about 3 years ago.
All right. Can I ask a silly
question? I can't even remember what I had for supper yesterday.
Welcome to my world. Well, I'm not even sure what a chimney balloon is. What's
when you want to cancel, you don't want to have any drafts from your chimney stack, and you want to cancel, like you don't use a chimney anymore, and you want to make sure you don't have any downdraft.
Okay.
So you kind of install that and kind of seals the inside of the house from the stack so you don't have any humidity debris or anything like that coming down, or water or cold air or anything like that.
Very good. All right. So Amazon. All right. Excuse me. 514-790-0800 is the number to call to talk to Walter Assey from Renovco. Don't forget, it's a Saturday morning. That means Lisa Christensen will follow us here at 10 o'clock with the car show. So grab a line now. Francis, Sam, we're coming to you next out in Pierrefonds. And right now, let's head off to the CJAD 800 newsroom and get you up to date.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Yes, it's Ken alongside Walter. Walter from Renovco is here to answer your calls, and we're going to get right back to it. 514-790-0800. Sam, thank you for waiting.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Out in Pierrefonds. You want to talk about rewiring, is that it?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
We live in a house that was probably built around the 1930s. But it's in pretty generally good shape. We've had a new roof and a new basement. Mm. And we have an oil furnace and an oil tank in the basement. And we thought we should get rid of this now and have a new electrical furnace installed. And before doing this, I thought, let's get the electrical panel in the basement checked. So an electrician came from a reliable company, I think, and he spent 2 hours going over everything, and at the end of it, he said, lady, your whole house needs to be rewired just because of the age. It no longer meets modern standards. And the amount the sum he quoted was unbelievable. And he said, this has to be done before you get your new electrical furnace. Now, I just have a couple of general questions about this. First of all, do we need to empty the house and put everything in storage? Do we need to move out of the house? And can this be done one bit at a time? Say, do the basement now and do the rest of the house next year. Or does it have to be done all at once?
Walter.
They're all great questions. There is a bit more answers to give you around this whole process, because what's important in the rewiring is the domino effect of the rewiring as well. So we're not talking just electrical in this case, and that's even more important question to ask.
Oh, no.
You're doing the right thing. You are inquiring, okay, and you are doing your research, so you're better off
knowing now,
managing your expectations, mm-hmm. Understanding what to expect as well. Now, obviously, in rewiring, there have to be holes done mm-hmm. to fish the new wires, which means there will be repairs, which means you're going to be plastering. And then, which means eventually painting as well. So that's a budget that you have to set aside for that part. Now, just to kind of address this immediately, that's when the skill of an electrician in finishing becomes very important. You know how we say this is a good doctor, a bad doctor, a good dentist, a good barber, and same thing with electricians, same thing with plumbers. It's the finesse in their hands. So we call them finish electricians or good finishing electricians because they don't create the map of the world while fishing wires. And you can categorize them, the rough electricians and the finish electricians. These guys tend to be more surgical and they are extremely careful about not damaging your house more than it should be damaged.
So they're more precise?
They're more precise. Mm-hmm. Now, electricians that are more rough, they tend to make bigger openings, create a bigger damage. It's easier for them to fish the wires, but it's going to cost you a lot more mm-hmm. in the repair process. Mm-hmm. Having said that, okay. It's not finished here yet. We're going to just jump ahead and talk about the second issue that you might encounter in an older home. So any home that is built before the 1990s, and specifically before the 1980s, okay, might have asbestos content in the plaster. And that's something that's often ignored, passed through, or not checked, if you wish. So you said 1930s home. If the plaster is original, chances are you don't have asbestos. Chances, but I say that word very loosely, and I'm going to say why. Because from the 1930s to 2023, it's almost 100 years. God knows how many times this house has been renovated and when it was renovated. So if it would have been renovated in the 50s or the 60s, chances are you have asbestos in the plaster. So before embarking on that, before getting this as a surprise, you get the plaster tested to ensure that you don't have asbestos in it. Because if you do, the opening aspect becomes a lot more complicated, and I'll tell you why. The electrician would not want to touch it. He's going to ask you to have a technician that have asbestos training do the openings for him, which complicates and delays the process. Plus, when they do the openings, it have to be done under asbestos condition, and so on and so forth. I'm just kind of giving you the whole
overview
of what might happen, pressing the fast forward button. Having said that, for all the electrical issues that you have mentioned, I would have definitely a second opinion. I've seen cases where you don't need necessarily to rewire the whole home. You might have to rewire certain sections of the home. And you can do it by phase if you wish, if you don't have the budget or the time. You don't need to move out. So that's unless, of course, there's asbestos and, you know, then when they're doing the openings, you would need to move out or not be in those rooms that are being addressed. But typically in rewiring of homes, you would not need to move out.
Hmm.
Okay. It's again, it's a question of doing small hole incisions to get to plugs, to wires, to switches, and so on and so forth, and that's where it stops. But in your case, because of the scope that was just thrown at you, I would call another company, get another another opinion, mm-hmm. and see why. Understand, the guy said everything have to be changed. Fine, but why everything have to be changed? Are my plugs not grounded? Is the wire too old? The panel, I can understand. If it's a fuse box, yes, you have to change it. So ask the right questions, be informed, and ask for another opinion.
What do you think, Sam?
That's great. Thank you so much.
All right. Good luck with the project.
It's not necessarily good news, yeah. but it's very, very helpful.
You know what? I tell you, Sam, it's great news. I know sometimes we want to stick our head in the sand and hope for the best. But that usually doesn't work out that way if we don't do our homework.
Yeah.
Now that you know what the questions to ask and what to look for, at least you can gauge what happens, and you are in control. You haven't just ceded control to everyone else, and now they are playing with your house, and you are at the point of no return. And let me explain you another thing that is even more important. In your case, Sam, you have oil heating, and that's what triggered the whole process. Okay, meaning you still have time. Hopefully, that you know your furnaces won't break down. And so on and so forth. But you could still potentially have another year out of your furnace in this case, just to make sure it's in good operational condition, or 2 years. So you can plan this job, according to your budget and your time, and you're in the captain's seat, not someone else.
Sam, good luck with the project.
Okay. Thank you so much. That was really helpful.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Enjoy your day. 9:43, we're going to sneak in France. Francis, we're going to probably break in the middle of this, but you want to talk to Walter about a sound coming out of the bathroom.
That's right. Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
My problem is much simpler, trust me. Each time we flush the toilet on the second floor, there's a whistling sound that comes from it, and that's been going on. It's consistent for the past couple of weeks. I'm not sure what we actually have to replace the complete toilet or.
So the quick answer to you would be was something called a bulk cock valve.
Excuse me.
Bulk cock valve in your toilet. Usually when that happens, it either needs to be replaced or it's a simple adjustment.
Okay.
And that will, yeah. The way you kind of can make the distinction, if that whistling noise starts becoming a screeching noise, that means it needs to be replaced. And if it doesn't, a simple adjustment can take care of the problem for you.
Wonderful.
But I would not ignore it because in this case, you are losing water. And if you are on a meter, you're probably paying more for utilities as well.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. No, and
no holes in the walls, Francis.
Poor Sam. A very happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
Thank you so much.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. 514-790-0800. If you want to talk to Walter, this is the right time to call right now at 514-790-0800. Hi, it's Ken. We'll get right back to your phone calls here in a second on the Home Improvement Show. We're going to drop in a word for Electrical Home Services, your home's electrical panel. Is likely something you don't give much thought to, but if your panel has hit the 25-year mark, let's say, it may be time to get a new one. If you had some renovations done in your home, for example, with new wiring or recently added maybe new, more demanding appliances, kitchen appliances, that old panel and its breakers could be dangerous, potentially dangerous. So call Electrical Home Services. They'll answer all your questions about having a new electrical panel safely installed in your home. 514-768-7778. That's Electrica with a K .ca.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Good morning. It's 10 away from 10 o'clock. You still have time if you want to get a call in here at 514-790-0800. Is this Jerry in Chateauguay?
Yes.
Jerry, hi. I think you want to talk about a generator. I don't necessarily want to slam or say anything bad about a brands, but what's the nature of your question?
Well, the nature of my question is, after the ice storm, I decided to get a generator, but I made the mistake of not getting one that you just press the button and it goes. Rather, it has a string that you pull, which only a man can get it going, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, but even the men, ever since I bought that generator, even the neighbor next door, every year he would start it for me. But the thing is, he had trouble too, and I don't know why. It was always so hard to... so much trouble to get it going. Unless I got a lemon, I don't know.
Is that a common problem with some of the traditional generators?
Well, my first question to you, is it Jerry?
Jerry.
Yeah. Is it when you say ice storm, are we talking about ice storm 1, ice storm 2?
No, remember it was 2010 or... bad ice storm that
1998. Okay. So, I mean, if it lasted you 1998, is almost, what, 20 years?
Almost 30.
Actually, almost 30.
25.
Then you didn't really get a lemon. You just have an old generator in your hand, okay?
Yeah.
With time, that pull string generator, a lot of them now, they are just ignition with key and what have you, and that's what I would really encourage you to have. It's just old, and it's probably time to retire. It's not really worse. I don't think it's worth you fixing, to be quite frank with you, because the new ones are not that expensive. These are small portable ones. You can get one as little as $500 if you just want to make your sump pump work and a couple of lights.
Yeah.
So it's not really worth it for you to think. And I would get the one with the ignition, with the key. It's less problems, easier to handle, easier to manage for sure.
Yeah, so I should just forget what I spent one many years ago, and it was never really used. So I just get
the... It sounds like it's run its course.
I mean, it is. It's and again, I mean, she's right in one aspect of things. I mean, for someone to operate it, sometimes you have to pull the choke, and then, you know, you could have issues, and it's just not a great way, you know, to have something started very quickly. You could have issues with it. So no, I would not spend money maintaining it or repairing it. It's probably going to cost you more expensive than it's worth anyways. And it's an antiquated technology that's time just to put it on the shelf and retire it.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? You answered my question really good, because it's been bothering me for many years.
Well, glad we could help, Jerry. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Walter, from the text line, let me see if I can read this out here for you. Good morning, guys. I have a plastic shower. What is happening is water leaks when I shower. If the water is running and I'm not in the shower, there's no leak. I caulked around the drain and it stopped the leaking for a few of the showers, but now the leaking is back. Any idea how I can fix the issue?
Yes. Yes, I'm going to say this very loosely again, because what most people sometimes forget is there's something out there called a contractor shower. These are showers that are made with very basic materials, and they're not meant to last an eternity.
Oh, yeah.
With showers, what's important is that's why you have different grades. You have a shower that you can buy for $500. You have one that you can buy for $4,000, especially the three-piece ones or the monocoque ones. What happens with the cheaper ones is that the base starts developing those microscopic cracks. You don't necessarily see them with the naked eye, but they're there. That's number one. Number two is because it have a very flimsy base. With time, it becomes flimsier. But where the drain and the acrylic meet, it starts detaching from the gasket, and that's where the water comes in. So it's not really a question of a drain issue. Most cases, it's just that the plastic and where the drain meets are kind of detaching from each other, and water is seeping and infiltrating there.
All right. We're going to sneak in a call before we're up against the wall on news. Andrew, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Andrew in Tynemount Royal. We got about 3 minutes. A question about your furnace.
Okay. I have a heat pump with ductwork all over the house. I have but my backup furnace is an oil hot water heating system. Last week they cleaned the furnace, said there was leaking in between the two units. or two compartments of the furnace, and it was dangerous, and it must be replaced. Mm. What are the possibilities of replacing it with a propane-fired hot water system?
What do you mean, what are the possibilities? What does that mean?
Do they sell propane furnaces that will heat a hot water heating system?
Of course. Of course. And it's a great system. Because nothing really heats up water faster than propane. As far as energy is concerned, you are in the money. It's what I would recommend you 100% to do. And the only disadvantage you'll have in this case would be the cost. It is more expensive to have a propane furnace than an electric furnace. Okay. Do you have a heat pump as well?
Yes, I have a heat pump as well.
Okay. So more importantly, Andrew, more importantly in today's world and technology is to invest in the heat pump, because the new heat pumps, they heat up to minus 30. So now your furnace becomes a secondary mode of heating. It's not as important. Okay. So if you have a proper heat pump, then, you know, you will probably use it 96-97% of the time. And, uh-huh. you know, you keep the furnace for those minus 40 crazy nights that we have very, very few off in a winter. So, you know, look at the heat pump at the same time. Make sure, I don't know if you're planning to replace both at the same time.
No, I'm not. The heat pump is maybe only about 10 years old.
Okay.
The problem I have is I do have a generator that was running the oil furnace. I have a 7.5-watt generator that runs the furnace, the hot water tank, plugs, et cetera,
Got
et cetera.
It. Got it.
But if I went all electric...
Say no more. You sold me. It's worth the investment. Go with a propane tank. Even if you have to pay a little bit more, you're absolutely 100% right, Andrew.
Sounds like money well spent. Andrew, we got to run because we're up against the clock.
Okay. I wanted just a suggestion maybe that he could make what company to call.
Maybe off air, I would give you a couple of names.
All right. Okay. I'm going to put you on hold, Andrew.
Okay.
All right. Hang on. Thank you for the phone call. Walter, thank you for a great hour.
My pleasure. Always.
Driving in the rain and getting here and doing his job. I love it. I love it.
Can you imagine?
News is standing by. The latest from Don Kagan Fleming in the CJD 800 newsroom. And Lisa, more phone calls and another great hour here on the Car Show. Coming up next, Jimmy, thank you. It's Ken Connors. I'll be back tomorrow morning. That's as of 6 o'clock.